Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There is a learning gap among a large segment of today's younger population. There's a need to improve the financial literacy of teens as they prepare to enter today's world, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But first, preparing young people for today's world is the principal task of our colleges and universities. As we continue our summer series on area institutions of higher learning, we'll focus on Harris Stowe State University today. Joining me in studio is Dr. Dewan Warmack, the president of Harris Stowe. He's been on that job for just a little over a year now. Dr. Warmack, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Ms. Marsh, for having me on.
Please call me Don.
Thank you, Don, for having me on.
After a year, do you have your sea legs?
Oh, yeah. It's been an amazing run. It's been a great year.
You know, you came in, as I recall from our conversation, which was just about a year ago, you came in calling yourself a change agent. So what's changed?
Well, like I said, it's been an amazing year and a lot has changed. We've, first off, from an academic perspective, as I said, I had a four-tier goal coming into Harris Stowe with the Focus of Excellence agenda. And from that, you know, I arrived, we had 14 degree programs in July of 2014. We've increased our degree offering by 126%. So we're up to roughly, we increased 5 new degree programs and 11 new majors. So we're roughly adding about 19 new programs to our profile within 1 year.
With more to come?
Oh, yeah, with more to come. Yeah.
What kinds of programs have you added?
Well, we've added, for one, we wanted to be really in the market around urban ecology and sustainability, you know, working very close with the regional chamber of what are the needs in this region. We partnered with Wells Fargo to create a finance degree, which will be advised by Wells Fargo advisors. We'll do live training at live training floor within our finance degree, make it one of a kind degree programs. Also, too, which was historic for the institution, and the first time in 158 years, we had Senate Bill 334 passed to offer graduate programs, and the first time in school history. We were the only school in the state system of out of 13 institutions that was not able to offer graduate programs. So that's monumental, and it's institutional and community changing when you think about adding that master's degrees at Harris Stowe as well.
Before we go too much farther, give me, if you would, a quick profile of your institution for people who may not be familiar with Harris Stowe.
Okay. Well, it has a rich history, and I think our history is probably one of the most unique here in this region. We were founded in 1857 as a teacher's college for whites only, which was Harris Teachers College, and operated independently for about 90 years as Harris. But on the other side of town, you had Stowe Teachers College, which was in 1890 founded for African-Americans only, for prepared African-American teachers. Because of landmark case Brown versus Board of Education in 1954, these two institutions merged as one institution, becoming Harris Teachers College. Through intense legislation in 1977, these two institutions became – the Stowe name was added back to that institution, and so became Harris Stowe Teachers College. It's gone through transformation since then, and now it's in 2015. It's a rich institution that has a focus on educating the greater St. Louis community.
Well, how would you describe the role of a historically black institution?
I think there's a need here, specifically in this community, you know, just some mere numbers. In the greater St. Louis community, there's about 577,000 African Americans. But unfortunately, only about 14% of that population have a bachelor's degree, and less than 4.2% have a master's degree. So an institution like Harris Stowe provides access and opportunity to students that may not have access at other places, but also provides an educational platform for individuals to better pursue educational endeavors. State of Missouri has a unique goal of 2020 of 60% of their residents having post-secondary education. Harris Stowe will serve as a part of a catalyst to help support that endeavor to underserved, historically marginalized community.
How do you draw from the African-American community? I mean, obviously there's a reservoir of talent and population that you want to bring into your institution. How do you draw them in?
Right. And as HBCU, we're not exclusive, right? And so we're extremely diverse. And so it's just we're recruiting students in China. We're recruiting students in St. Louis. Students from this incoming class is probably our largest incoming class in school history. As far as California, Wisconsin, you know, we have a strategic enrollment management plan that we are target areas using census data, using a variety of different matrix to see the type of students that will fit the profile at Harris Stowe State University.
And give me some sense of those that you're bringing in from whatever group we're talking about. What sort of qualifications do you have? Are they the same as other institutions in this area?
Well, I think, you know, for us, we've been an open access institution. So when that means that open enrollment students can come, but we that doesn't mean everyone is accepted. And so I'll give you the best example. We are we had a record number of applications. We had 3,200 applications this year. Last year we had 1,200 applications. We only accepted 1,500 of those applications. And so 50% of those students were denied because they didn't meet the minimum profile that we were looking for, that we thought students would be successful at a place like Harrisville State University.
I asked that question because we had an email earlier today from someone who said that Harrisville would accept students who would score about 13 on the ACTs, which is about two-thirds of what the average is in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Is that true, number one? And if it is, how well do they perform through college and beyond?
I can't speak for before, but as I just clearly articulated and shared that, right, this is probably our best academic profile in school history. We have a variety of valedictorians in this class, have students who have ranging ACT score, high as 34 ACT scores. I can't say, I don't know exact enrollment numbers, but we have a sort of a threshold of students, 13 under my tenure. I don't think we accepted anyone with 13.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, we get those emails from time to time, and they're not always accurate. That's what I wanted to straighten that out.
And I can't say what was before.
Sure. Yeah. No, of course. What do you see as your biggest challenge now? Most of the administrators we've talked to in this series have said the good old buck is the problem.
That is it. You know, I think it's I think we are making some intentional strides in the state of Missouri in regards to funding for higher education, but we're currently ranked 44th. In the country in regards to funding for higher education. So it makes it challenging to be creative and innovative in regards to providing a quality service, ensuring infrastructure that your students can be successful. So funding is what it is. So what we spend a lot of time as presidents reaching out for external funding. So how do we begin to fundraise with public-private partnerships? How do we ensure federal grants? So we spend a significant amount of time, you know, doing that. So the challenge is definitely finances.
One of the figures that I've seen is that you've raised – since you've been here, about $1.5 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, but in today's academic world, not all that much money.
Right.
How are you going to use that?
Well, for me, it was important for me to recruit the brightest and the finest, I had to have scholarship dollars. And so critical mass of those dollars are used for scholarships so we can recruit the brightest and the finest students. So we have students, I say, as far as California who come in, their top schools was UCLA, one was Yale, and we was able to yield that student at Harrisville, 3.9 GPA with a 32 ACT, and that student is at our institution right now. And so it allows us to be competitive to go out to get that top student that everyone else is going as well, after as well.
As you mentioned earlier, you came here just before the Ferguson situation with Michael Brown and the things that that followed that shooting. What do you see as the role of an institution such as yours in responding to community events such as that?
Great question. I think for me, we made a pretty bold statement, as this ties back to your historically black college designation, where as the only historically black college in this city, a university, we have a civic and moral responsibility to be engaged in these type of endeavors. Roughly 40% of our students last year was from the North County area. So it just didn't impact the Ferguson when they came to school. That was still part of their life. And so we were intentional about serving as the intellectual think tank to help the community heal. So we were both civically and morally involved in regards to creating a safe space that the community can have meaningful dialogue about how do we heal and go forward. Unfortunately, we have a variety of conversations that happen, but there's no meaningful collaborative conversations that leads to action and that leads to transformation. And so we want to be that place. And we've served that. We've had roughly around 20 community town hall conversations, seminars that focused on unity, togetherness, healing, and progression, and how do we go from there.
You mentioned something that's been talked about a lot on this program, and that is that there have been a lot of conversations, but not all of them, by any stretch of the imagination, have been translated into action. So you're a relative newcomer to this area.
Yeah.
That concern you?
Well, I think it's I can't be as concerned about the past, right? For me, it's a focus on what can we do today. And so that's why we have taken a very bold stance as an institution to be a change agent, you know, as I continue to say there. And so our conversations are not – we have specific outcomes that we want to measure. So from that, we were clear. The challenges that were outlined when I first arrived with Ferguson-Florissant School District and how they were in a lower tier. And so for us to be focused on that, we had to adopt two elementary schools there. So we want to begin. So we have Griffith Elementary School and Airport Elementary, where we adopted those schools. So we send mentors out to read, to study. First day of class both years, this year and last year, we had 50 to 70 students out there walking those students back, encouraging them and going out there to read. So for me, conversation is not enough. Action has to happen. So that's something tangible and measurable we can do. We bring those students to our campus. We can show them what college looks like, what does success look like. You know, often these students may not have had opportunities and access to see that as well.
In these think tank discussions that you've had and the work that you've done and students have done, what sort of action do you feel has to be taken? Where do we move first on all of this?
Well, so I'll speak specifically for because I think multiple entities play a variety of different roles. And so what we've really been focused is our role in this process. And so a couple of things. From all of this, we've created a robust social justice institute, which we want to do meaningful training around intercultural competencies, race relations, community policing, unifying community. So from that, action items, we'll be able to do that to different sub-communities, policing in urban communities. What does that look like? And so we want to be that catalyst to be able to do that through our criminal justice program. Okay. The other piece behind that, we are clear about the amount of African Americans that the Seoul prison pipeline. So we've created a meaningful African American male initiative that focuses on dress for success, college graduation rates. And so that's something tangible and that we can measure the success on that as well. So all of those are brand new initiatives that we've stemmed out of this conversation about what's happened with Mike Brown and how we can systemically impact the community from inside out.
How energized are the students with regard to this?
Extremely energized. A lot of it is student-led, student-generated. We have been very focused on how do we engage student leadership into holistic development. So at Hairstow, we're focused on that holistic development of our student. That's academically, personally, socially, and for me, spiritually, and whatever that spiritual piece may be.
Yeah. We have to take a break. We'll do that now. We're talking with Dr. Dewan Warmack, who is the president of Harris Stowe State University. We'll continue that conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Dr. Warmack. We've had an email earlier today in which the writer cites a number of lawsuits that are pending, one of which has been resolved apparently at Harris Stowe. There was an NEA suit won by the NEA charging retaliation against an employee for union organization. Employees have filed suit stressing alleging ageism, racism, sexism after a termination of an employee. Students are claiming abuse by campus security, and the Office of Civil Rights is filing a suit for Title IX violations. That's an awful lot of court action.
Right. I can say during my tenure, we haven't faced any of those laws. Those are all previous, prior to my arrival. Mm-hmm. I think we're in a society where people sue for a variety of different mm-hmm. things. The question is, you know, are they legitimate lawsuits? We have been very intentional about ensuring our policies and procedures are in order, ensuring that we're doing things the right way to ensure that these things don't happen. The lawsuit that was recently settled was, once again, prior to my arrival. And I can't think of any current lawsuits that we are facing with the folks that are current right now. Now, we're dealing with stuff that was years back, and now we're focused on cleaning those things up.
So there are no open suits at the moment? Is that it?
That were pre These suits were before I arrived.
Okay. No new suits.
Exactly.
Well, how distracting is it to have these things hanging over your head? We talked about money before. These things are expensive to deal with.
They are. But in higher education, that's normal. You go to any other institution in this country, folks file lawsuits all the time. You know, for me, that's not a distraction. My focus is educating the students that are at our institution. Hence, that why we have created the first international partnership we've had in school history, sent 7 students to China, 100% paying for it by the Chinese government. Never happened in school history. We posted the most tenure-track faculty positions that we've ever had in school history. 10 tenure-track faculty members this year invested into the academic infrastructure. We are also at the place where, like I said, record enrollment, largest class we've ever had in school history. So I do not let that be a distraction, and I focus on the things that we need to do. And being featured in the Chronicle of Higher Education, featured in tons of publications for all of the positive things that we're doing. And that doesn't happen unless folks are watching the amazing things that institutional higher learning are doing.
Yeah, one of the distractions that students might be considering is the fact that when they graduate, they're going to be facing a large amount of debt. I mean, that's a problem that's nationwide. Just recently revealed that aside from the fact that student debt is beyond national credit card debt figures at this time, auto loan debt has been added to that now because it just keeps growing and it's going to double. You know, what answers do people in your position have when students say, how am I going to get around this? Is online education something that can help? What's out there to help alleviate this situation?
Well, I think that's what makes Hairstow extremely unique. We have one of the most affordable tuition structures in the country. If you think about like this, I'll give just a practical number to you. A student can come to Hairstow State University from the city of St. Louis and receive their bachelor's degree, taking 32 credit hours per year. So let's use 1 year. Mm-hmm. 16 credit hours a semester equaling 32 credit hours for $5,200 total. That's tuition, fees, and books. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in the country. If I'm a first-generation low socioeconomic student with a Pell Grant, your Pell Grant is $5,730. So you can come to Hairstow and be a non-residential student from the state of Missouri, in-state student, and get a refund. You'll walk away from here after 4 years and get a refund of $2,000 with a bachelor's degree. No other school in the state can say that. It'll come close.
We had the Chancellor of Washington University on the other day. Mm-hmm. Tuition there, $63,000.
Right.
You have the same reaction I do. What can you say to that? Right. Of course, they have a lot of opportunities, too, for relief for a great many students, but that's still an awful lot of money. Mm-hmm. What about jobs? When your students leave Hairstow, do you have any kind of tracking mechanism to find out how many find employment and how quickly they find it?
We do. And so in even the state of Missouri, we're funded based on performance funding, right? And so we have 5 performance funding measures that you're funded by. And I'm excited to announce Hairstow has met all 5 of the 5 performance funding measures. And so the new performance funding measure is a 6th one that we're adding. It's about gainful employment. And so it's about ensuring students are getting jobs in their profession. And so we are very intentional of creating an infrastructure to be able to measure what our graduates are doing. But we also have a big push for me serving an underserved population is the focus on graduate school. And so we've developed some meaningful partnerships to ensure our students are successful. So we just signed an MOU with Valparaiso Law School, where students will do 3 years at Hairstow and then do 3 years at Valparaiso Law School. So and eliminating debt, because that's a whole year of school that's knocked out. And also students being able to matriculate faster. We've just signed an MOU with St. Louis University. We've finishing the one with St. Louis School of Pharmacy. So for me, it's really partner with local institutions and institutions within this region to assure not just our students when they graduate, but I fundamentally believe that graduate school is important for our students to go on to be able to do that. And what we're doing is working with these other institutions to do it at the Hairstow tuition rate so our students can be successful doing that as well.
By the way, I've been corrected on the figure I gave for Washington University. The $63,000 figure also includes room and board as well as tuition. It's still a lot of money. Right. It costs a lot of money to go to many, many schools.
And our room and board, if you add our room and board, our room and board is $15,000. Yeah. So it's total $15,000 for room and board for the year.
How many students do you have living on campus?
We have 442 students, to be exact, on campus.
And the total number of students that you have overall?
Right now, as of our count today, we are probably large number. We are over 1,500 students. Right. We had 1,300 last year.
I had mentioned a little while ago, I mentioned the future of online education. Mm-hmm. That's something that's getting a lot of attention these days, again, because of the high cost of attending college. Where is Harris Stowe on that?
Well, I think for me, I wanted to be ahead of the curve. And so if you followed our trend this year as well, we created our first online degree program approved by our Higher Learning Commission, our accrediting body, to have offered two fully online programs, first time in 158 years, one in criminal justice and one in healthcare management. Healthcare management is a field that's really vibrant in this St. Louis region, working with the regional chamber and having conversations about what are the jobs here, and that was one. So we've created those. They will start this fall, our first fully online degree programs, and we created our first certificate program in urban ag as well, starting this fall. So those are all new degree programs that were implemented. We put through the change process approved by the state of Missouri and by our accrediting body, and so they'll start this fall.
Is that where college education is going, do you think?
Well, I think a hybrid is needed. You know, if you really want to reach a variety of different audiences, and I think there's this misnomer as well about online education being more reasonable. That's not always the case. You know, it just all depends on the program, the program of study, what the focus is. And so for us, we are a residential campus. We are clear about being a small public residential campus. That will remain our focus. But how do we reach out to the masses to ensure that we can provide opportunity and access to individuals that may can't come to our campus? So for us, we won't ever go away from our residential mission during my tenure, but we will expand our online offering to be sort of a hybrid and a blend to offer opportunity and access to folks that may not can't make it to campus.
You know, one of the other issues that I'm sure you're well aware, because it gets a lot of publicity, is the issue of campus security. And that's sometimes a little more meaningful when it comes to an urban campus, just given the location. Where are you on that in terms of guaranteeing as best you can that students who come to your campus are going to be secure?
All right. Being originally from Detroit, Michigan, I'm very cautious of guarantees. Like Rasheed Wallace used to always guarantee a championship, and sometimes it didn't happen. So we work hard as we can to ensure our campus is safe. Campus safety is our number one priority. And so what we do is we make sure policies are in order. We make sure all of our emergency management plans, our crisis response plans line up, and to ensure if one of these crisis happen, we're prepared for those. We're in the process of finalizing hiring our new director of public safety person. The candidate of choice comes in with years of experience from the theoretical perspective, who served as an instructor, as a professor, but also a practical perspective, who was a years of law enforcement as well. So it brings a blend of experiences back to us that will be able to help us ensure our public safety and campus safety is in order.
You have a public safety officer. Do you have your own police department?
Well, ours is public safety department. And so they're armed officers as well, but they're not it's a public safety department, which a lot of higher education do. And we work in conjunction with St. Louis PD.
Yeah. What as our time begins to wind down, what is your not only your vision, but your aspiration for the immediate future, the next year or two, as you begin to expand your time here at Harris Stowe?
Well, for one, it hadn't changed when I first arrived. You know, our focus is excellence agenda, you know, focusing on excellence in academics, excellence in branding and marketing, excellence in fundraising and friendraising, and excellence in recruitment and retention. So with those four areas of strategic focus, we've been very intentional with our strategic plan, our enrollment management plan, and our master plan coming out of that to focus on those endeavors. So we want to grow our academic infrastructure. So we've focused on that, growing about 126% in 1 year. We wanted to increase our enrollment. So we've increased our enrollment roughly about 27% for this first year. We want to continue to grow that. We want also to continue to build our relationships and our friendships within this community to ensure that people understand our brand and I'm able to tell the narrative and the real story about the amazing things and the transformation that's happened at our institution. And the last thing is continue to brand and market the amazing things in this institution. It's been around 158 years is doing for this community. So we want to grow academically, want to grow from a student body perspective. And our ultimate goal is to be one of the premier regional institutions in the country that just happens to be HBCU.
Only a short time left, and just a personal note here in terms of your own response to this community. You've come from outside of the state, as you've indicated. You've been here a year. What do you make of this new community of yours?
I love it. I have grown truly to love St. Louis. I was on a southern tour, so I spent 18 years in the South. And but I'm originally from the Midwest. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. So it's like sort of coming back to my roots. My only fear was my family transition and moving from Daytona Beach, Florida to St. Louis was a little different. But you know, coming here, I have a 4-year-old daughter who loves the cultural aspects that's here. She loves the zoo. She loves the culture museums. We love all of the things that come behind that. And the community has been very welcoming. And so I've been I can't have no complaints. St. Louis has been a good city. I think we are working together as a community to counter some of this negative publicity we've received on the national level. And if we continue to be unified and work together and understand all of our collective roles in the process, this city is a great city, and boys, the world should know that as well.
It does have a reputation as being racially polarized.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any apprehension about coming here from Florida when the offer came?
Well, I don't think it was – mine was about the – my background as a sociologist, I do a lot around race relations, diversity training. Yeah. So that's been my gift in higher education for years. So that didn't scare me. It was more that I fell in love with the Florida weather. You know, I love January to have on shorts on the beach drinking a cold iced tea, sweet tea.
So, well, you'll be able to put on your shorts for the next couple of months, but then watch out.
Right, not in January, right.
Duane Warmack, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on your first year, and I hope you have many more at Harris State University.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Good to see you, and hope to have a chance to talk to you again.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
When we come back, getting young people on the right side of financial literacy. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.